We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Latest reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, Civil Defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival shelter today.
Russian troops rolled into neighboring Ukraine, touching off the largest European conflict since World War II.
After the U.S. offered over the weekend to evacuate Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, amid the Russian invasion, Zelensky reportedly said, quote, "The fight is here. I need ammunition, not a ride."
Russia began their invasion of Ukraine. President Putin launched the attack with support from allies like Belarus and Tucker Carlson. Experts on Russian politics are saying that economic sanctions in the West will not deter Putin because his money is in non-traditional assets that are difficult to trace. Ugh. So on top of everything else awful about Putin, he's also into crypto.
After the invasion of Ukraine, the Russian stock market fell by 30% to negative 90%. This is a tough subject to make jokes about. I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen footage of attacks like this on other countries, but never a white one.
The whole world has been gripped by the moving images coming out of Ukraine. We've seen scenes of heartbreak and heroism, desperate refugees streaming over the Polish border, families taking shelter from the bombs and subway stations, men trying to stop tanks with their bare hands. We all knew this was going to happen for weeks, but there's a difference between knowing it coming and watching it happen.
Thank you. And there are folks like you and me. So just get high while the radio's on. Just relax and sing a song. Drive your car up on the lawn. Let me play your guitar. Well, this here verse is for the people in Russia. Although it is a long, long ways away, they couldn't hear this song in Russia.
War in Ukraine. Putin has done the unthinkable. And in response, almost every nation around the world has gone, yo, my man, that is not cool.
Much of the world is trying to tighten its grip around Russia to get Vladimir Putin to back off Ukraine.
For the first time ever, the EU will finance the purchase and delivery of weapons to Ukraine. Similarly, the United States, for the first time, has approved the direct delivery of Stinger missiles to Ukraine as part of a package approved by the White House. That decision came on the heels of Germany's announcement that it will send 500 Stinger missiles and other weapons and supplies to Ukraine. This was a historic break from Germany's post-World War II foreign policy.
The president is joining forces with European allies by kicking most Russian banks out of SWIFT, an international banking messaging system that makes global transactions easier. New sanctions will also target Russia's central bank. And allies are beginning to target Russian oligarchs with ties to Putin who shield his wealth in offshore accounts.
Russian planes and private jets from oligarchs can no longer fly over dozens of countries. The European Union and Canada are banning the flights from their airspace. Air France also just announced that it has suspended service from Russia.
Yeah, that's right. They're cutting off banking, they're arming their enemies, and on top of that, airlines are stopping flights to and from Russia. And if there's one thing that tells you how big these sanctions are, it's that the Swiss have gotten involved. Like, you understand how big that is, right? The Swiss don't get involved in anything.
These are the people who gave Hitler a safe deposit box, so...
The Swiss people will not condone this unacceptable act of aggression.
Putin's move is so crazy that Germany is like, it's time for us as Germany to rebuild our military. And the world is like, yeah, I hope. What Russia has done has gotten the world so riled up that it's not just the governments that are responding to this war. No, everyone around the world is finding their own way to show Putin that he's an ass.
Major news from the sports world. The World Soccer Organization, FIFA, is banning Russian teams from all of their games. The organization issuing a statement today banning Russian clubs and national teams from all competition until further notice. FIFA says it stands in, quote, full solidarity with all of the people affected in Ukraine.
The European Broadcasting Union has banned Russia from participating in this year's Eurovision Song Contest.
And back here at home, several governors around the United States are asking stores to pull Russian products off their shelves. A restaurant in Las Vegas went out on the street and poured all of their bottles of Russian vodka out onto the street. They'll be offering Ukrainian vodka instead.
Formula One dropped the Russian Grand Prix from the season's racing calendar. And the International Olympic Committee also urging sports federations to move or cancel their events in Russia and Belarus.
And the International Judo Federation suspending Putin's status as honorary president and ambassador of the federation.
The value of the Russian ruble hitting an all-time low this morning. The first business day since harsh sanctions were imposed against Moscow for waging war on Ukraine. Now European operations for one state-owned Russian bank are already facing bankruptcy, saying in a press release they're failing or likely to fail.
Long lines of Russians waiting at ATMs after days of punishing sanctions levied on Moscow by the West. Many Russians are worried their bank cards will stop working or that banks will limit cash withdrawals.
Ordinary Russians are suffering for what Putin is doing. I don't like that. But then again, if they didn't want him as president, then they shouldn't have re-elected him with 107% of the vote. But the big question now is, what will Putin do in the face of a cratering economy and a war that is not as easy as he probably wanted? Well, apparently his plan is to make things a whole lot worse.
Ukraine and a dramatic escalation in the crisis there. Russia's military confirms this morning that the country's nuclear forces have indeed been put on high alert. President Vladimir Putin calls it a response to, quote, aggressive statements by NATO leaders.
Mr. Putin is becoming even more desperate. It's showing that his military progress is failing on the ground, that he has to resort to this kind of threat. He is pushing his inner circle away. We saw him publicly humiliating his closest advisors. That's what's most concerning. Nobody there to prevent a catastrophic misstep.
Threat of nuclear annihilation may have increased. Yes, we may be on the brink of World War III, and yes, Europe is once again at the mercy of one power-hungry dictator.
Point is, Putin is lashing out and threatening the unthinkable in response to a series of intense sanctions and other punishments from the West, and even his closest military officials seem incredibly uncomfortable taking these orders from him.
We've seen very clearly this week that Putin is isolated from his own officials. We're talking about the order for the nuclear alert. When he gave this order yesterday in the Kremlin, he was sitting with his two top military officials, the defense minister and the chief of the general staff, and they weren't allowed to get within 15 feet of them. They were sat at the other end of one of these comically huge tables that Putin makes people sit at in the Kremlin. The way that he summons these officials sitting at these huge distances from him around these ludicrous tables, a lot of them look visibly uncomfortable.
Thank you.
This is not a developing third world nation. This is Europe.
These are prosperous, middle-class people. These are not people trying to get away from areas in North Africa. They look like any European family that you would live next door to.
What could be a difference here from other conflicts, you know, that could seem very far away, you know, in Africa or Middle East or whatever. I mean, these are Europeans that we're seeing being killed.
This isn't a place, with all due respect, you know, like Iraq or Afghanistan. You know, this is a relatively civilized, relatively European, I have to choose those words carefully too, city where you wouldn't expect that or hope that it's going to happen.
Wow. That was you choosing your words carefully? That was the careful version? So what were you going to say if you weren't choosing your words carefully? I just hope the next time this happens, it happens back in the Middle East where it belongs. Here's the thing, people. Here's the thing. Beyond the racism, right? Like, let's forget the racism. Oh, how I wish we could forget about the racism. You do realize that until very recently, fighting crazy wars was Europe's thing. That was Europe's entire thing. That's all of European history. They even had something called the Hundred Years' War. They got a Nobel Prize because they stopped fighting. Imagine that. Now people are going to be like, oh, to see this in Europe, to see this. Like, I'll tell you now, I don't know about you, but I was shocked to see how many reporters around the world, by the way, seem to think that it's more of a tragedy when white people have to flee their countries. Because I guess what, the darkies were built for it? I mean, you see how they run in the Olympics, Peter. Clearly God has given them this talent for a reason. I totally agree. I mean, even if this wasn't a war, these people would probably be fleeing their homes for fun. It's just who they are. Back to you guys in the studio. Obviously, the people facing the greatest impact from the war are the Ukrainian people themselves. 500,000 people have been forced to leave their homes and they fled to neighboring countries. Hundreds of civilians have reportedly been killed and countless others are huddled in basements, bomb shelters, and subway stations to avoid Russian missiles that are raining down on their neighborhoods. There is no doubt that this war has been devastating for Ukraine. But at the same time, it's also clear that Putin has failed miserably in his attempt to break the country's spirit. Because I don't know about you, man, but I've been on Twitter basically nonstop since this war started, just refreshing, 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 you know, doing my part. So I've seen all the videos coming out of this war. And trust me, Ukrainians are not messing around.
The troops defending Ukraine's Snake Island, as it's called in the Black Sea, instantly became the country's first heroes of the resistance, thanks to this stunning exchange with Russian forces.
This clip shows a man. It looks like he's carrying an anti-tank mine. He did this while managing to keep his cigarette in his mouth.
This is the sort of extraordinary resistance Russia is facing here. 100 miles northeast of Kyiv, a man tries to block a Russian tank. He kneels in front of it, determined to stop it in its tracks.
U.S. officials believe this will be a Pyrrhic victory for Vladimir Putin, symbolized by that Ukrainian grandmother who confronted the Russian soldier. After berating him, she handed him some sunflower seeds to put in his pocket and then said she looks forward to seeing sunflowers grow when his dead body lies down on Ukrainian soil.
My brother will stay with my mother. My grandmother and I will go to war with my father.
The ordinary people of Ukraine will not back down or bow down, and the war in Ukraine isn't working out the way Russia intended.
Across this country, we've seen volunteers who've taken up arms, while others are making Molotov cocktails, including this group of women who've set up an assembly line. Painter Natasha Tukchenko says she's put down her brush, now mastering the art of making a Molotov cocktail, hunkering down with her neighbors in the parking garage of their apartment building turned bomb shelter and makeshift factory. Similar scenes across the country. With how-to instructions broadcast on state TV. Even the former prime minister now going viral with his demonstration. The government encouraging all Ukrainians to take up arms and fight. This man leaves with two AK-47s, even though he's never fired a gun.
Do you know how to use that?
To tell the truth, I am not good at it, but I understand. I just need to find some quiet place and figure out how it works.
And how insane is it that Ukrainian public television is actually teaching people how to make Molotov cocktails. When you talk about Ukrainians stepping up to this moment, one big part of this resistance movement is Ukraine's president himself, Volodymyr Zelensky, who, by the way, nobody thought would be able to lead his country, like even less so in a war against Russia, right? And the reason people had their doubts is because just 4 years ago, Zelensky wasn't even in politics. He was a comedian, yeah. He was acting in TV shows, busting moves on Dancing with the Stars. And this is completely real. This is completely real. He even showed up on a TV show where he pretended to play the piano with his penis. That's ridiculous. He's the president of Ukraine right now. Yeah, he's the guy who has to rally his country against an overwhelming Russian invasion. And despite everyone's doubts, and everything that they thought he would be, this man has more than stepped up to the occasion.
With his country in crisis, Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, is the very definition of leading from the front, sharing videos of himself on the street to reassure his people that he's still in the country. He's braving Russian missiles and airstrikes and telling Ukrainians, you are strong, you are unbroken. He reportedly turned down a US offer to help him evacuate, saying, I need ammunition, not a ride.
Meanwhile, Trump was hiding underground when people came with placards to the White House. There's so many words out there, hide me.
He's not abandoning ship, he's staying. He's like the captain of the Titanic if the Titanic spent 5 days successfully beating the iceberg.
The point is, no one, not even apparently Putin's own officials, is watching this horrific war and the humanitarian catastrophe that is unfolding right now and thinking, gee, this Putin guy is a genius. Wait, hold on. Oh, damn it, I forgot. I forgot there was a Trump clip coming. What's up? There's always a Trump clip coming. But are we sure that's fair? I mean, he's a former president just trying to enjoy a quiet retirement. Yeah, like, why don't we just leave him alone? What's that? Oh, the clip is from his speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference where he gave the strongest hints yet he might run again. And in that same speech, he doubled down on his praise of Putin. All right, well then roll the clip, mother...
Yesterday, reporters asked me if I thought President Putin was smart. I said, of course he's smart, to which I was greeted with, oh, that's such a terrible thing to say. I'd like to tell the truth. Yes, he's smart. The NATO nations, and indeed the world, as he looks over what's happening strategically with no repercussions or threats whatsoever, they're not so smart. They're looking the opposite of smart. If you take over Ukraine, we're going to sanction you, they say. Sanction? Well, that's a pretty weak statement. Putin is saying, oh, they're going to sanction me. They sanctioned me for the last 25 years. You mean I can take over a whole country and they're going to sanction me? You mean they're not going to blow us to pieces, at least psychologically?
Nothing is funnier than a person saying you're not smart, and then the best way they can come up to describe the opposite of smart are the words opposite of smart. Also, what the hell are you talking about? Blow Putin to pieces psychologically? What do you want us to do? Get him high and play Dark Side of the Moon, synced up to the Wizard of Oz? Whoa, this blowing me to pieces psychologically. Vasily, how about you? You super high? Whoa, man, I cannot feel toes right now.
We have Republicans who are rooting for Russia, and that makes it very hard for President Biden to get the whole country to go along when Donald Trump, Mike Pompeo, and Tucker Carlson are rooting for Russians, and that's being replayed on Russia TV to rally Russians for this cause.
You know, it's such an awful thing to say. We hesitated even to play that. It's very common. You hear it every day. The question is, why are they saying that? It doesn't make sense. But is there another reason we should side with Ukraine over Russia? Russia is a much more significant country by every measure. Why is it disloyal to side with Russia, but loyal to side with Ukraine? They're both foreign countries that don't care anything about the United States, which is the actual threat. Why would we take Ukraine's side? Why wouldn't we have Russia's side? I'm totally confused. So much. Has Putin ever called me a racist? Has he threatened to get me fired for disagreeing with him? Has he shipped every middle-class job in my town to Russia? I should say for the record, I'm totally opposed to these sanctions, and I don't think that we should be at war with Russia.
And I think we should probably take the side of Russia if we have to choose between Russia and Ukraine. That is my view.
But
Ukraine and Russia.
Because,
and I'm serious.
Like, why do I tell you why?
And why shouldn't I root for Russia, because, which I am?
Because the world is aghast at Russia's brutal and horrific invasion of Ukraine and its threats of escalation, including the thousands of ordinary Russians who have taken to the streets and been arrested for protesting. What we need now more than anything is to ignore the deranged rants of reckless morons like Trump and do everything possible to help the refugees, support the Ukrainian people, and find a peaceful path for de-escalation.
Glory to our allies. Glory to Ukraine.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.